Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning. Rise and shine. You're all with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, question of the morning. Where were you yesterday? Oh, my goodness. Did we get the week started off well by shaking the Monday morning blues with the Due Time crew? Yes. Oh, we had some interesting conversation yesterday. We talked about dating post-COVID. Yes. Now, that leaves a lot to be desired because there were a few questions on the table, such as, what won't we do now that COVID has been in existence and you may want to date? Well, we heard there's not going to be, I'm not dating without you taking a COVID test. Yes. Yes, yes. I'm not dating nobody. That's what they say. I'm not dating anybody if you don't take a COVID test. Hey. How do I know I'm safe? What else did we ask? Where won't you go? Here's one thing that Minister AJ said. He said they going to church. They're going to church because he going to see if you're going to lie up in the church house. Yes, he's going to ask you any questions he want to ask after the pastor has finished giving his sermon, and we're going to wait to hear what you say. Oh, my goodness. Also, we asked about the kissing. Wow. Would you kiss somebody now post-COVID? Would you do that? That didn't go well for the Due Time crew either. Nope, they said they're not kissing. Somebody said they might kiss you on the forehead. But the bigger answer to that was, no thanks. So we had a very interesting conversation yesterday with the crew. And it was funny. We had a nice time. Okay, we could not finish off a Monday morning without our 51st switch tip. Yes, 51. Can you believe it? Wow. Get back on track. Oh, how many of us needed that reminder? This journey here called Christianity, this ain't an easy one. And there will be many distractions along the way. There will be people who will come along and take your mind off God. There will be multiplicities of problems. and that might take you offline a little bit, but the reminder yesterday was get back on track. Yes, that's no joke. You know, listen, the deal is that regardless of what we go through, we always got to find ourselves back on track with God. Okay? And, you know, what are you going to do? What do you have to do? You, yeah, I'm talking to you. Let me give you a second to think about that. Okay, you had your seconds. What are you going to do? Are you that far off track that it's going to take you forever to get back on? Are you that off track where you just really can't seem to find your way back on? Well, listen, here's the best part about this thing here called living in God. No matter what you do, no matter where you have fallen to, no matter why you've gotten there, we have a God that will definitely, definitely be there when you need him. You know, we didn't think, you know, 10 months ago that we would need God the way we might need him right now. No. You know, we didn't think we would be this far gone. You know, all we thought we were going to do was step out a little bit. And, you know, all I was going to do was do that. I had no idea that it would get this bad. I had no idea that if I got involved with this person, it would, you know, get this bad. But suddenly, it's this bad. Well, let me help to assure you that we have a God that regardless of how bad it may be, all you got to do is just go to him. Yep, that little conversation that says, God, I messed up. I got sidetracked. And, Lord, when you look around, if your heart and your spirit is there and you keep to your word, I promise you, God would help to put you back on track. Listen, think about those of us who are telling you to get back on track. How do we know it exists? How do we know it happened? How do we know that God can put you back on track? Well, that's simply because, guess what? We had to do it ourselves. Yes. Man, I keep telling you, you're talking to the people that know. Yes. So make sure, though, no matter what is going on, you're back on track. Yes, you can get back on track. Okay? So that's how we ended our Monday. Well, today is Let's Talk About It Tuesday. Church Folk Day. It's Tuesday. And God has awakened us one more again so we can do this thing called life in him. And we're going to have a good time today. Okay? I'm looking forward to it. What do you think? I do too. All right. So, let me get you this number, 516-387-1358. Again, that number is 516-387-1358. And make sure you get that healthy breakfast. Make sure you reach out and talk to somebody and let them know that it's due time with Pastor Steph is on, and they don't want to miss us today, okay? All righty. Well, make sure you get comfortable and you fall back a little bit, so we can now take a break. All right? Okie dokie. Be right back.
In 2018, over 300,000 lives were lost to cervical cancer, and the problem could soon be much worse. But right now, we can come together to eliminate this cancer for good. If by 2030, we can have 90% of girls vaccinated, 70% of women screened for early signs of cancer, and 90% of patients receiving treatment, in the coming years, we can save millions of women's lives.
Well, good morning, and good morning to you again. Oh, welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, and it's Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. Yes. Yeah. We're already at Tuesday. Okay. So, let's see. How are you today? I hope you're doing well and you're ready to get your talk on, because we're going to do just that. Okay. All righty. So, let's talk about the arrest of a man who shot and killed a Florida mom while holding her daughter in her arm. Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, in St. Petersburg, Florida, they have arrested Tyron Jackassel, 20, on second-degree murder charge in the death of Kamaya Simmons, as he killed her while she was riding in a car with her two children. Okay. Ms. Simmons was a passenger in the vehicle, and she was holding her one-year-old daughter in her lap as a two-year-old sat in the back seat of the car when another driver pulled up and started firing into the car. Oh my gosh. Okay. The shooter was really targeting her boyfriend, not her. And she was not the intended person, but the bullet struck and killed her. And they say it barely missed the two-year-old. Okay. And check this out. The bullet went right through the booster seat of the other child. So even that could have been, either way, he could have mistakenly hit either child. He pulled up as the car sat at a red light and started shooting. And he had to have seen that there were other children and other people in the car besides the person he was targeting. And Toronto now. He's facing second-degree murder charge at 20 years old. Now, here's the thing. Let's talk about this. Yes, 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 we're talking today. We're talking today. Let's talk about this for a little bit. All right, so he shoots. He's targeting one person. He mistakenly hits the other and almost hits either of the children. So remember now, the primary charge is second-degree murder. But you better believe he's going to eat charges such as endangering the life of a child and all other kind of things that they pull up the gun, having the gun. You know, I was looking at something the other day, and they had, like, for the primary was, again, the fact that the person tried to kill someone. But then you had subsequent charges of carrying the gun, loading the gun, bullets, having bullets and ammunition. That was a charge. Oh, yeah, they had about five charges just on the gun alone. Forget about the primary thing that he had done. So you have Tyron, who's 20, who has now taken a life, and now he's taken life away from two children, and now you're not going to have a life because you better believe you're going to jail. That's it, forever. Forever. And it's almost like nobody thinks of this stuff beforehand. I mean, does this life mean so much that you just don't even care? They don't care. They don't care what the penalty is, or they think that forever they won't get caught. I don't understand it. What is going on in their minds when they're doing these things? So, you know, and looking at how the other children were put into danger, you just can't be that desperate to kill somebody. You just can't be. Yeah, they said it was like an ambush. They were just sitting at the light, and all the bullets just started. Mm-hmm. He just pulled up and started firing into the car. They have no concern over life. None whatsoever. All righty. I want to talk about this other story. Okay. So a California young woman, yeah, she was only 38, mother of two. She no longer has a life now because why? Come on, people. She told her family that she was traveling to Florida to get some work done. That's all she said. And mom said by the time she found out the truth, she had gone to Mexico with a friend. It was too late. She went, she paid $6,700 for liposuction. And there was several procedures done that day. And everybody was ill subsequently, but she died. At 38, with two children, you lose your life because you need to get liposuction in another country. Come on. Listen, she's 38. She's heard the stories of these other countries doing these things. This procedure, all the procedures took place on January 29th by Jesus Manuel Baez Lopez. Yeah, that was the whole name. Jesus Manuel Baez Lopez. Too many names for me to trust you. So I don't know if, you know, they told you to call him Dr. Lopez. But when you saw the plate and it said Dr. Jesus Manuel Baez Lopez? Heck no, because that means that you can easily be using any of these names to escape the authorities. Why you got so many names? Yes, I know the Hispanic community, you know, they're known for having some. No, that's just too many names for me to get comfortable with. You're a man. Why you got so many names? Now, women, they hyphenate their names. Yes, Pastor Steph is going there today. Because, listen, it's something has to just make you scratch your head and wonder, really? Okay, so that's automatically a sign. Okay? So, if that one slipped past you, okay. So I'm not going to nail you to the wall for that one. But if that one slipped by you, you know, it was her and her friend. So you have Kawana Weaver and Kanisha Davis. They both schedule liposuction and tummy tucks. And the friend is a nurse, okay, and says she knew something was off when her girlfriend was not hooked up to any monitors during the operation and she was released immediately. So, okay, so that's the next thing we're going to stick a pin in here. You're a nurse. You have access to many, many, many doctors. You know the questions that need to be asked. What's the matter here? You know what it was? It was a $6,700. Because I could promise you right now, you ain't getting no liposuction and tummy tuck done in the United States for less than that. That or less. And I'm going to tell you why. See that monitor she talked about? That costs money. Yep. Everything that they use in the operating room costs a dollar. Everything costs money. So see how they were able to charge $6,700 for that procedure? Because one of the primary pieces of equipment that's used for when you're undergoing anesthesia. So who was the anesthesiologist? The maid? Oh, my gosh. You're a nurse. Shame on you. Because let me tell you something. It's let's talk about it. So we're going to talk about all the way about this thing here today. Because, you know, I didn't realize there were so many things to talk about in this one story. Okay, so listen. The best thing, and this is some caveat you're going to get this morning. The best thing for you to do when you ever want, you're going to one doctor for anything, ask that doctor for a referral. I don't care what it is you want done. If it's legal, oh, they know somebody. Because doctors know doctors. They are always throwing business one another's way. They're always consulting one another. Yeah, this stuff gets done. They're talking. They go to conferences. You know, they have meetings, you know, in the hospitals. So they're looking at the abdominal surgeon is looking over at the heart surgeon. The heart surgeon is looking over at the breast surgeon. Yes, they talk. So all you need to do is if you want to get your toes worked on because it's all crooked and stuff and you don't know who you want to choose because you just don't have a clue about an orthopedic doctor and you don't want to just scroll through the internet, all you have to do, consult the doctor you're seeing. Oh, yeah, I've done it. And I mean something completely unrelated. Yes, I did. After I gave birth to my last daughter, I did ask the OBGYN who delivered her about another area that was of a concern to me. And he said, oh, sure. My wife just got finished seeing this doctor. Listen here. We're talking about God moving here. If that's what God wants for you, he's going to direct your path. People, come on. You can't. And let me tell you something else. You see how the woman who died lied and told her family from she was in California, she was going to Florida to get some work done. Well, guess what? You lied. Why are you lying if you know what you're doing is right? If you knew that you were going for something on the up and up, you knew that you were going for something, you know, that was safe, you knew that the doctor had been researched and he had a good stamp, he had two regular names, you know, then you wouldn't have had to lie. Okay. Well, let's go on with the story. She said she knew something was off, but listen to this. Listen to the last piece. She said she knew something was off when her girlfriend wasn't hooked up to any monitors during the operation, and she was released immediately. You don't go for any surgery where they give you anesthesia and they just let you walk off. See, this didn't, listen, pay attention. I didn't say it's not ambulatory, because we do have surgeries that are ambulatory. You get the work done, you hang out for a little while, and then you go home. She said released immediately. You're not released immediately under a normal, immediately. Use that word, immediately, which meant way too soon, even quicker than them giving you some crackers and some juice and letting you go. Okay? Now, she herself, this is the nurse friend, okay? She said she then became violently ill after returning home to California, and she began bleeding internally and vomiting. Now, I don't know how she knew she was bleeding internally, but she was vomiting. Vomiting blood. Okay. She was immediately hospitalized 2 weeks, and that's when she learned she was hemorrhaging inside. Okay. And she knows for a fact that had she not gotten there when she did, oh, she would have been dead too. Okay. From what they say, you know, unfortunately, you know, the mom, 38, she was a good person, very independent, great mother, intelligent, and does any of that matter? Huh? Does any of that matter? Okay. Now, listen, remember now, all three surgeries, or all the surgeries that took place that day, everybody got sick. And they say that the Mexico law stipulates that only certified plastic surgeons are permitted to perform certain cosmetic procedures such as liposuction and tummy tucks. And in 2015, what's his name here? Let me get you his name. Jesus Manuel Baez Lopez, his clinic was reportedly shut down for failing to meet the minimum requirements to operate legally. Yeah. Yep. Oh, goodness gracious. So someone else told about another procedure that was done while the two friends went, and that's how they found out that there were three all together. Okay. And wait a minute, it's another person who's speaking out who had the surgery. Okay, I got it mixed up when I read it originally. Okay. And she's saying He tightened my abdominal muscles too much, squishing all my organs together and cutting off blood supply to my kidneys, causing something called abdominal compartment syndrome. Oh, my gosh. She said she was septic by the time she reached the ER and moments from death. Her kidneys were shutting down, and now she continues to have kidney problems even now. All right, y'all. So clearly, there was no real research done either by either one of these three women. And like I said, the one who is a nurse, shame on you. You should really know better. You should be able to go to any doctor that you're working around and do what you do. Ask. Come on. God didn't give you all them brains to be no nurse, because trust me, it don't take no 2 minutes to be no nurse. You got to know a little something. And you were trying to take the cheapest way out, because there's no other reason why you would leave all the legitimate recommended cosmetic surgeons in United States. Listen, people only go across to another country to get these type of jobs done because of the cheap amount of money that they can pay. It's the only reason why people leave. Listen, let me tell you something. If you got to be some some other stuff. But people bring their patients to the United States for our doctors to work on them. Have you ever seen children who've got some serious illnesses or birth defects, and, you know, so they bring them over here, and United States is, you know, famous now for, you know, they did this 12-hour surgery on this person and or this child, and now, you know, this is a big thing here because they took patients from another country. People are bringing themselves to us. Why would you possibly outsource your care, operations, and treatments to someone outside of United States if it were not for the sake of money? Then you know what? Hold on. Save up your money a little bit longer and you'll be able to pay. You'll be able to pay for these things. You really can't cheat and sneak around and think that, you know, things are going to work out well. This is really, and like I said, she's 38. You didn't heard the stories. At one time, this was real big here in the United States, about women who were leaving the country going to get, you know, to get these operations, these cosmetic surgeries on their face, liposuction on their stomach and their buttocks and all kind of things, and how it went horribly wrong. And now this cost you your life? So now another two children are left without a mother. So I had the first one where the guy shot up the car and killed the mom, leaving her two children that were in the car without a mother. And now you have this one who laid her life away. She gave it away. We have to be much, much, much more thoughtful in how we care for ourselves, because it is the temple of the Lord, and He doesn't give us, you know, the body to hand over to people who don't care about you. All they cared about was the money. So think about it. That was 6,700 times three at least, because we don't know if the friend was going to get the exact same thing. We don't know if the other, you know, young woman was doing the same thing. Well, she wasn't doing the same thing. She already said she was going for something else. We don't know how much he charged her. So imagine, imagine how long this has been going on and how many other people have died under his hands and nobody knows anything about it. So, well, everybody, it's that time of the moment that we speak to our due time crew. It's Church Folk Day, so let's say good morning to Pastor Charlene Bead. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today?
I am well, thank you. I am well. I'm glad that I decided to take all my surgeries to somebody here in the U.S., and thank God I'm still here talking to you today. 14 surgeries later, I can still talk. Only God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Oh, come on, Pastor Charlene. Let's talk about, you know how we do. Let's talk about the first conversation. You know, the young man who he threw his life away because he's going to shoot up the car at 20, you know, missing the babies, but hitting the mother by mistake. What's going on in your head when you hear this story?
It's so sad. My first thought was the boyfriend. The boyfriend, whatever his lifestyle was, which, you know, he pretty much kind of, sort of. And he put his girlfriend and the kids in danger. So my thing was, you know when somebody is after you. And so when you're sitting in a car and you don't know when they got this hit out on you, when it's going to happen, but you know that somebody is after you. The mother gets shot, and you know, thank God that the children were safe, but he's going to suffer a lot also, because that's going to continue to play in his head. Now the shooter. These children don't care about dying. They don't. They're not thinking about nobody's family. They don't care. It's so sad that they don't care nothing. You know. So in the mix of that, you know, he's not caring because, you know, it's not my kid. You know.
Right.
I don't care about you. You know, they come and blow up the whole house. You know, they don't care. And it's so sad that, you know, they don't, these children, this generation right here, not only do they don't care about their own life, you know, but they forget that you're bringing your family into it. So you're bringing other people in. So, you know, so it's going to be, okay, you got me, now I'm going to get yours.
Yep. Oh, my goodness gracious. You're bringing up some good stuff. You're bringing up some good stuff. You know, when I always told my girls, do not get in the car with just anybody. You know, they have these friends, but especially my last girl. You know, I'm going out with so and so's picking me up. Who? So and so. And although I may know them and, you know, their life may seem to be okay, I always tell them, you can't ride around with everybody. Why? Because you don't know what they're doing. You don't know what they've done. Mm-hmm. And these people come and spray the car, and guess who's sitting up in there? So you can't ride with everybody. Everybody might be your friend, and, you know, oh, they wouldn't let nothing happen. They ain't got no control over that. So you bring up a very good point, Pastor Charlene. You know when things ain't right. You know when you didn't cross somebody. You know when you in something with somebody and that person has the capability of doing that. How many times have they shot up the party because they wouldn't be allowed in and all kind of things? So you bring up a really good point there. Oh, let's talk about the two young ladies who went to get the cosmetic surgery in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
What's up with that, Pastor Charlene?
Well, we always looking for a deal. And so
you're right.
So when you, you know, one, she did not do her homework. You know, she didn't look at the views, you know, of people who had prior had this doctor, you know. And one thing that when we always looking for a cheap way, it will always backfire some kind of way. It always seemed to backfire, you know. So when they go on to get on these planes, you if you really look at the money that you're spending, you know, because you're paying the 67, but you got to pay airfare, plus you got to pay for the hotel, plus you got to pay to eat. So by the time you do all those pluses, you might as well stay right here. Another thing was that with her, secrets seemed to backfire too. You didn't tell your mama the truth. You know, you hiding it because you didn't want to tell everybody because you wanted to come back with this banging body. You know, so you went away and you want to act like you always had it. Then you got to look at where that with her, still with her, that is this really your friend? If she's a nurse and, you, like you said, you didn't put your tooth in to make sure that, you know, that all the supplies was at this place. Because it sounded like that it was just in a, maybe just in a, one of those little houses back up in the boondocks somewhere, you know. So you still had the time to turn around, you know what I mean, and don't do it. Now, if everybody's sitting in there and they getting sick, something wrong right there. While we sitting in the waiting room. You got up off the table, major surgery. You got up off the table, and now you're not really walking because you're slumped over. You're in pain. You're doing the slide. You ain't, you know what I mean? So with that, now this nurse, oh, my. This nurse.
Now, she went with her. Don't forget now. Don't forget, wait, hold on, Pastor Charlotte. Don't forget the nurse went with her to get the surgery done on her.
Right.
She didn't send her. She didn't console her.
No, I'm saying by being a nurse, you know what should be in the room when you have a major surgery, right? So, but you didn't know that they didn't have it. Here's all now. But you didn't know that they didn't have it. That means you went in the room with her and saw that it wasn't.
Absolutely.
Now you should have snatched your friend, because we use that word lightly, but snatch your friend and let's get up out of here because it ain't right.
Yep. It's puzzling to me. That's what I'm trying to figure out. It says that you saw that there was no monitors. Then my thing is, what was the setup? How could you see that? I don't ever remember going in with Dr. Satterfield and somebody could see what was going on other than the people that were in the room. How can you see that she wasn't hooked up to a monitor? Was it in the foyer? I'm saying. That makes no sense to me. That makes no sense to me. And so, okay, so let's talk about this. We come in, Minister AJ. This is all stuff we're going to talk to you about. Okay, listen. So one or two things happened. She got the surgery first. You saw that she wasn't hooked up to the monitor. And she was, you know, they just let her out right after the surgery. And you went in afterwards. Or you went in first, got your procedure done, then you saw that. Now, can you imagine that being on the back end? Now, did they have a monitor on you and they didn't have one on her? What? You follow what I'm saying? It's like this, there's so many questions. Who went first? Mm-hmm. Because if you're the nurse and she and your friend went first, I surely wouldn't have no procedure done. Afterwards, you follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
If I went first, and I saw that they didn't have a monitor on her. Oh, I'm interrupting this surgery. No, hold on, hold on, hold on. There's no, if I could see this. So I don't know, Pastor Sharlene. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, it sounds like, you know, just like what you just saying, you know, even though I would have stopped you on the table. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And, oh, no, when we walked in, well, my thought was, too, so we know that neither one of these young ladies had Jesus in them, because you mean to tell me that the Spirit ain't tell you that something was wrong? You know,
because
even when you're not even, and this is the thing, too, even when I wasn't even, the Lord knew me and I ain't know him, you knew something ain't right.
Right, right. You don't have to know Jesus to know that if they hooking you up and you know normally as a nurse that you are hooked up to a monitor when there is surgery, Jesus didn't dealt with you before. You got that
exactly.
Basic knowledge of being a nurse. You ain't had to be dipped in no water for that one. Come on, come on, come on now.
Exactly.
Come on, Pastor
exactly.
Charlie.
Exactly.
Come on, come on.
But
come
I'm saying, you know, we always skip over looking for,
mm-hmm.
once again, that deal. And
yep.
we always skip over, you know, that woman intuition, as they say, too. We always skip over that common sense.
Mm-hmm.
She was so busy that I'm going to have this banging body,
mm-hmm.
you know, and whatever the nurse got, you know, but why you didn't do any checkup on this doctor, you know, to know, you know, what did they say about him? You know, is he really legal or whatever? And you made a good point. Everybody comes here to get surgery. So I don't know why
mm-hmm.
they was wanted to go all the way over there to do it. Yeah,
yes, you do.
You know,
you just said
it's just
it.
Crazy.
You said it because we're looking for the hookup. Looking for the deal. Looking for the deal. And that's exactly what happened. They figured that by the time they put the two of them together, they could, you know, the two of them together could pay for one here in the United States, but there was a two-for-one going on in Mexico. That's exactly what happened. Thank you, Pastor Sharlene. We're going to get to talking with Minister AJ, and we'll be back to talk to you in a second. Let's say good morning to Minister AJ. Good morning, Minister AJ.
Good morning. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
All right, Minister AJ. Hey.
Yes, ma'am.
We're talking about
hey.
These, we're talking about these two news stories, and we got
mm-hmm.
the first one with a 20-year-old shot into the car, barely missing both children, but hitting the mom when they wanted the boyfriend. What do you? He's 20 years old. What do you say?
Mm-hmm.
What's your thought?
My thought is he was too young and immature to have a gun, period. I used to always have a saying when I would talk to the youth at my old church, I would tell them that real heroes carry guns in their mind. And for him to shoot into a car like that, especially with kids, he was too immature to have a gun, period. Before we even get to the shooting part, he shouldn't have had a gun, period. And I really believe sometimes when people have weapons, you know, it causes them to act out in ways that they wouldn't normally act if they didn't have the weapon. So, therefore, your level of thinking is already out of control. Before you can even think about your future, you've already blown it.
Wow. Wow. Good stuff. Good stuff. Good stuff.
And that's the thing. Sometimes with weapons, we don't give ourselves time to think. You know, we have a weapon.
Mm-hmm,
you're
mm-hmm.
supposed to use it. And so, you know, all you know is a reaction, but you never just show you that you shouldn't have had it at the beginning, because a mature person will even think the process through, you know, if I hit him, if I kill him, you know what I'm saying? But a lot of times when we have things prematurely that we shouldn't have, we don't have the time to really think things through.
Absolutely. Good point. And, you know, Shantice and I talk about this all the time. You about to do life. easily, because by the time they can't finish loading up all those charges, you about to do life, and you didn't even do what you set out to do. That person, you didn't went to jail. You going to jail right after this.
Uh-huh.
And the person that you were targeting ain't even dead. So look at how this has worked out for you. All righty. We're talking about the two women who went over to Mexico, and they put their life in the hands of Dr. Jesus Manuel Baez Lopez, because they wanted some cosmetic surgery done. And now one is gone. Children have no mom. And the other one was close to death. And she has to remember this for the rest of her life, that how her and her friend went over to Mexico and only one of them came back. What's your thought?
It sounds like, I don't even know. It sounds like he had too many names at the beginning. Let you be operating on this. But, we have too many resources. And, come on, nobody's known for surgery in Mexico. Usually people go to Mexico to vacation. You know, home of the battles. Get your little Mexicano food, and you relax.
Wait, you guys speaking the phone? We're missing all this good stuff. Wait, hold on, stop talking. We're missing all this good stuff. You got to talk in the phone
so
we can hear you. No.
Can you hear me now?
A little better. Now, start all over again. You said normally people come here, but they don't go to Mexico, and then you start. So start from there.
All right. Most people go to Mexico to go on vacation. The home of the sombreros, Mexicano food. You know, nobody goes there for surgery. And what I don't understand is that we have too many resources. We have doctor on demand. Well, you can even look at the doctor, you know. You can even talk to the doctor. And it should kind of give you, and like you said, even with the referrals, I'm like that. You know, refer me to a doctor. But they also have kind of like, you know, they have it set up where you can call. If you have no idea where to begin, like 1-800-DENTIST, you want to go to teeth fix.
Right.
They will refer you to a great doctor.
Right.
And you can see the reviews. You know, same thing with, you know, now you don't even have to go into the doctor's office. You can get referred to a doctor and talk to a doctor, you know, face-to-face virtually. You don't need to go into the office, you know, so I'm just saying. But, you know, like you said, and I'm like that too. If I go somewhere, refer me right here. I'm not going to go leave your office, go to another doctor's office to get a referral. No, you're in the field, you're in the practice. You know who's been practicing and who's been doing it well, so, yeah.
Whew. I don't know. Yeah, I thought the same thing. I'm like, you know, even with your health provider, you go on their website, or if they, for those of us who get that initial packet when you sign up for a particular health program, you get a whole thick booklet. And inside that booklet, why it's so thick is because they have a whole list of providers. Most of these people have been, you know, researched, and, you know, they're not going to carry these doctors if the doctors don't have an A-plus rating. You know, they're going to, you know, help you do the research, like you said. And that's what I was thinking to myself. I'm like, but they're too, like you said, resources. We don't use the resources that we have. And I want to go in two different directions here today. So, I like that word, Minister AJ. I like that word, resources. Well, one of the first things I want to talk to us about is Christian people, about keeping secrets. You know, you didn't tell anybody, your mother, that you were going over to Mexico, other than this friend. You didn't tell anybody you were going over to Mexico because you knew that they would try to talk you out of it. And we're going to talk about keeping secrets as Christian people. And, you know, because we infamous for that one. We'll keep secrets, and, you know, and coming off of the switch tip that says, you know, don't share everything, you know, we have to be very careful about the you know, the stuff that we do keep a secret as well. So they say keeping secrets destroy relationships. Well, what would you say about that, Pastor Charlene?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Nobody knows about you. It's funny because yesterday I was talking to one of my girlfriends, and she was saying about her husband's friends that are women, and she mentioned this one, and she says that how she was talking to me, I said, but does she know that he has a wife? And because a lot of times, you know, keeping that secret that, you know, nobody knows who you are. You know how, like, you're dating somebody, and I know I've seen this a lot when they introduce and they say, oh, this is my friend. Your friend, you know, and they're supposed to be going together or married, you know, and they use a word that they kept a secret of their relationship, of who they are to each other. But when they're by themselves, now, you know, that's my boyfriend, that's my girlfriend, or whatever. So it will trigger, because now it's like, in my head, I think one thing. In your head, you're thinking something totally different. But then when we come together, I'm a secret to everybody. And nobody's never heard my name. Nobody's never seen me. You know, I've never been around your family. You know, so those relationship secrets, in that aspect, yes. That becomes a real problem, because now you want to keep me a secret, but you want me to tell everybody who you are to me, especially on Facebook. Facebook, you know how where it has, you know, if you're married or you're singled, or especially on that. A lot of people who have somebody, they don't put that they're married or, you know, they're dating or whatever, or even have a picture of that person with you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Nice beginning. Come on, Minister AJ. The secrets, keeping those secrets, they destroy relationships.
They absolutely do, because it's hard to love a person and you don't know the truth. You know, so you may be loving one thing or a set of things, and it may not be actually what it really is. And not only that, when people keep secrets, sometimes they carry a level of guilt eventually, you know, unless they're just so far gone. And with that level of a guilt, it actually affects the next person's behavior, because you're looking at them and you're like, well, they're moving a little funny, they're moving a little different, and you don't know why. So you don't even know how to really assist them, because you don't really know what's going on. So a lot of guilt can affect the next person, because they want to help you, but they don't know how to help you, because all they know is that your behavior is different, but they don't really know exactly what's going on.
Good stuff. Keeping secrets affect the children's lives. Pastor Sharlin.
Absolutely. One of the biggest secrets of affecting the children's lives, because you're really not their parent, their father. And something happened, and they thought all this time that that was my dad. And you never shared with them that, you know, it could have been whatever circumstance, you know, that your dad walked away, or, you know, I was pregnant, I never told him. But I think that, and then the one that's there has been raising you all this time, it does affect the child, because now the child, when they get older, you know, they want to seek out and find their real parent, you know, their father, and they'd be so mad, you know, now it will affect their life, and now it affects the relationship between you and them. So, yes, with the children, it will affect them.
Wow. Minister AJ, what's another area where keeping secrets can affect the children's lives? You know, we don't think about ourselves. But please think about the children. What's another area other than that's not your daddy?
Oh, it's not your daddy. This is your granddaddy. No. he's not your granddaddy. No, I'm joking. keeping a secret. Sometimes, you know, parents not being happy and staying in a relationship for the kid. you know, and sometimes it can cause more damage because kids can sense and they can feel when it's off. I don't care what you're saying or how you believe it, they can sense and feel. And sometimes they're better off just knowing the truth because their little minds are working. You know, are they going to stay together? You know, we know it's not right. You know, their minds are working. And not only that, kids sometimes want to know, no matter what happens, are both parents going to be around? So sometimes you're better off just coming to the nitty-gritty, sitting them down, telling them what it is, and you know, that way they can ease their minds because kids go to school, they act out, and you don't know why, but a lot of times it's because you sit in there acting like we really together and that it's all loving, and they know it's not loving. You know, they can see, they can hear, and that's definitely another area.
Okay. Keeping secrets will cause suspicion and resentment, and you just touched on that, Minister AJ. But Pastor Charlene, let's sink our teeth into, you know, keeping secrets can cause, you know, resentment and suspicion.
Well, very good one. When you start off with them lying for just no reason, as they say, you know, I didn't lie to you, but you didn't tell me the whole truth. That's what they say. So meaning, I'm going to give an example. If we are in a car and there's four people in the car, And I'm in the car with them, and then I come home and say, and my husband says, who was in the car? You know, oh, so-and-so dropped me off. Oh, who was riding with you? And I named everybody but one. But you say that, you know, nothing is going on, and I've already had a suspicion that, you know, something might be. And so then I said, well, why you didn't mention Mary Ann? Because, you know, Mary Ann going to come out when she see me. She's going to make sure that, oh, yeah, I was with your husband when we all went to such and such. I'm giving an example. And so he didn't mention Mary Ann was there. So now I'm going to look at him cock-eyed. So why you didn't say Mary Ann is there? Oh, what's the matter with you? How did, you know, like that. So that little secret will grow into something that will grow into something else. So if you just didn't tell, you know, tell the whole truth, those little ones will get you in trouble.
And then they get mad at you because you're now suspicious and resentful of what's going on. How do you get mad at me because now I'm suspicious and resentful of a situation when you were the one who got this ball rolling, when you lied by omission, by not telling it? How we, you know, I'm gonna ask Pastor, what's his name? Mr. AJ.
Yes.
Mr. AJ. I wanna go here. I wanna ask you, how do you end up mad at me because I'm suspicious now that you've lied? I'm resentful now that you lied by omission. Why? How you mad at me now?
Because that's what it is. That's the drama to draw the attention away from what you really did. You know, if I put on this whole theatrical play, you get what I'm saying to you? Now, I don't look suspicious. You know, I got to take it to the brink. I got to, you know, some people say take it to the grave. You know, I got to not look suspicious. And sometimes a person will start off. They'll start it off. You know, they'll start going through your phone. They'll start doing crazy stuff. You're like, wait a minute, what happened? And it's because they're out there doing something. And so there's suspicion, and that's that guilt eating at you, you know. So now I got to put on this whole theatrical play. And then, too, I don't know what you know. So, you know what I mean? Bobby putting on a theatrical play and going hard with it, I'm going to find out what you know. But I ain't going to tell her myself. That's what some people do, you know. And that was counsel in 1082, counsel in session 1082 through 2000.
But why not just tell the truth? Why not just tell the truth? Right. Come on, Pastor Charlotte, what do you say? Why not just go ahead and tell that Marianne? And you know why I laugh? Because only people in our age bracket would use Marianne as a make believe name. You know, they're using Kawana and all them other names.
Quarantina.
We know when you in a millennial. When you're a millennial, you ain't using those names. So I had to laugh at you. But, you know, why not just tell the truth? Why not just say that Marianne was in the car?
Absolutely. Guilt. And what happens is not only that you should tell it, because now it will leave a door open for other things, you know, because now your mind will start playing back. And I think that is because there was something that, what are you hiding, you know, that you couldn't just say that the person was in the car? What are you hiding that you said that or you went to lunch with somebody? You know what I mean? Because now that will put that antenna up, you know, and make you think that there is something if it might not be nothing. But now it goes
absolutely
into those secrets make you not trust. You know, I'm not going to trust you because now you done lied for this. What else have you lied to us? Now you know you're going to be, and it goes both ways. It's not just woman, or it could be either side.
Absolutely.
You know, and, you know, because women, we do it too, you know, but, you know, I didn't say that I went to dinner or I saw them, even seeing them in the store, you know, and then that person would come by and say, oh, you know, I saw your wife last week, such and such and such. Well, she ain't tell me that nothing like that, or, you know, or boyfriend, girlfriend, it doesn't matter. I just use husband because I'm married, so I say husband and wife. But, you know, these things, it makes you have an antenna that will actually come up of what are you hiding? What are you hiding? No?
All right.
I hope I
Minister AJ, why not just tell the truth? Why not just get it out and just tell that, you know, Joe was in the car, too, and, you know, that way everything is on the table.
Sometimes we're not first truthful with ourselves. You know, first, you know, we're not truthful to say that we're dating somebody who can handle the truth. Sometimes we're living beneath who we should be with, and so we got to carry lies. Because, you know, it starts with that first lie. You're not even with somebody who's... Because sometimes you can tell somebody the whole truth, nothing but the truth, and it still go totally left. You know, what was Marianne wearing? You know, did Marianne have on perfume? Why do we need to do all of this? You know, I was in the car with Marianne. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, did Marianne bring... did Marianne bring you lunch? Did she pay for dinner? And that part of it is because you ain't doing what you're supposed to at home, you know. But that's another talk show. But yeah,
it sure is because you ain't taking me there today. It sure is because you're not taking me there today. Like the only possibility could be she offering you lunch because I ain't doing something. We are not playing that game. So we
gonna
move on past that little statement.
I'm not going there today.
Spirit
already told me bring it back in.
That's right. That's right. Because Pastor Steph gonna be all over you today. That's right.
I'm ready.
So go ahead, Pastor. Minister AJ, what do you have to say? Yes, Miss AJ. Yes, don't let me interrupt you.
That would be Brother AJ then, brother. Huh? Oh, Brother AJ. No, but I forgot what I'm talking about that. But yeah, you know. Amen. And Jesus.
Okay,
amen.
Okay. Well, we're talking about keeping secrets, breed resentment, and were we up to that or did
being
we get
suspicious
past that? We got, yes. It breeds suspicion and resentment, and you were saying that. You know, you're throwing that across the table because you're up to something.
No, but sometimes it does happen that way. And this is my thing. When you really search love, like the Bible says, a perfect love drives out fear. You know, so I shouldn't be doing things that's going to have you suspicious and fearful.
Right.
You really love me? Eliminate the fear. Mm-hmm. Eliminate the suspicious. That's how you show me that you love me. You know what I'm saying to you? We've been married 10 years now. All of a sudden, you got a new friend marrying him. You know what I'm saying? Saquita. All these years, man, I ain't heard about this friend. Come on. Hey, cousin. Pastor, like Pastor, like Ms. Sister Katie said, cousins. Watch them cousins.
Yeah. But, you know, and I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought that up because it's about taking ownership. You know, we have to, we can't be pointing fingers and expecting for you, you know, to always accept everything that I offer as though you should be offering those things. So just like you said, Minister AJ, which was a really good point, you know, you don't need to, you know, do things that will arouse someone's suspicion. Now, we do know, you know, let's go ahead and say it, we do know people who, because of what they've been through, everything will arouse their suspicion. We know that. However, we're not talking about dumb people. We're talking about, you know, things that you do. You take ownership and say, you know what, if I was in the car with you know, so-and-so, and Mary, then I need to go ahead and say I was in the car with so-and-so, and Mary. You know, me eliminating people, you know, because you in a car. You ain't forgot who was in the car. It's only a 2x4 space. Come on. We ain't asking you who was at the banquet. You know, we're asking you who was in the car. So, you know, we do have a responsibility for dictating, you know, what we do in another person's life, Pastor Charlotte.
Absolutely. We have to be able to stand for, you know, if you're wrong, you know, be wrong, be very clear, be very understanding, you know, about your actions. Because, see, we can only, we only can do talk about us. We can only straighten us. We can only show us. Don't show nobody, you know, those things, and especially when you're in a relationship, you should by now know what would trigger that person. You know what I mean? If they had issues of not trusting, if they had issues that, you know, in their past relationships that, you know, red flags or whatever that will go up. You know, so you will want to be honest. And that's one of the things that secrets, if you're not honest, you know, it can go in so many different ways, you know, of not being honest. Who was you on the phone with? You know, I mean, it's different things. You know, and you just lie. It goes right back to where I started from. You just lying for no reason.
And they'll say, I didn't want to say because I think it would upset you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the no reason.
Right.
They're lying because they don't
want
to upset you.
Mm-hmm. But it upset you more of keeping it away, and then why would it upset me? You know what I mean? Is there a reason
Absolutely.
That you brought on that showed me a reason that I should feel this way? Because if you're not showing that reason, then I should not. And then it goes back into the other person that you said we're not talking about. You know, it's my issue, you know, that I'm having with myself. But you have to be able to, you know, to keep that door open and be able to help through in a relationship. We talk about in a relationship.
Absolutely. Minister AJ, we're talking about, you know, having that, taking that ownership, you know, that we are responsible for your well-being, your mental health, your emotional stability.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I'm going to take it from this angle. Like the Bible says, abstain from the very appearance of evil. You know, even if it looks evil, if it looks, you know, like it could take you somewhere where, you know, it doesn't need to go, just stay away from it. You know, and a sure sign that a person wants to be with you is that when you complain about something and it's legit, that person is willing to fix it. You know, if I only have limited time and then when I'm sitting my time with you and your phone all the time and you don't own a business, you know, you don't even have a job. We got issues. You know, listen, if it's a concern to me, you know, fix it. You know, And that's my thing. Just stay away from it, even if it looks evil. And we have bad habits. A person can explain to you, stop taking everything that has hurt them, and then we take them right back down that road. Come on, if you know you're going to take them down that road, just get out of it. Just say, you know what? You know, maybe we both just need to heal, and you don't catch me back in 6 months, 12 months, and maybe we can do it. But, you know, if you know in your head you're going to take them back down that same road, just don't do it.
I love that. I love that. I love that. We have so many responsibilities as a person, and that's what I was talking about yesterday about the depression. You know, you owe it to the people that you're trying to be, you know, have an intimate conversation with, to be in your best frame of mind and your best emotional state. That's what you're offering them. Anything short of that, you're going to do nothing but hurt them. And like you said, Minister AJ, you know, if you're going to take them down the same road that they've just been down, that they have already told you is, you know, is it has done harm and damage to them, then you don't need to be involved with that. Go ahead about your business and walk off. That's the best thing you can do. So, very good points. I want to shift direction for the, and we can probably jump back into this somehow, and we probably will. We're talking about the Spirit of the Lord and how it will direct you. You know, from when we were talking about the first stories and things like that, you know, certain things just, the Spirit of the Lord is going to give you that it will keep you from going in the wrong direction. You know, and a lot of times, Pastor Charlene said it, you know, we'll get that nudging from the Lord and no, we going to keep going forward. We're going to go forward despite the fact that the Lord said no. So here's what I'm going to do, 347-285-7777. I'm going to give you an opportunity to weigh in on this last part of this conversation, 347-285-7777. A time when the Lord was nudging you a certain direction or do something, or there was a time when the Spirit of the Lord told you don't do something, and you just went ahead any old how, and it backfired. Okay, we're not. I want to hear the good stuff. You save that for testimony time. Right now, we're talking about when you. I'm serious. Don't call. Oh, you know, and the Lord told me to go this way, and he ended up being my husband. I don't want to hear nothing about that. We're talking about when you didn't listen to the Spirit of the Lord, and you live to regret it, because that's the message we need to send today. We're not talking about the good stuff. We're not talking about the good stuff, right? Okay, so let's make sure we get that clear. All right, so come on, give us a holler. Give Shantice, you know, let her know, and she'll hit me up, and then we'll listen to what you have to say today, okay? All righty. So we're talking about how the Spirit of the Lord deals with us, okay? And it deals with us like many, 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 many ways, okay? And one of the ways the Spirit of the Lord deals with us is, let me see which one I want to start off with first. The Word of God. Let's just talk about just plain, simply what the Lord says in the Word of God. So let's take this particular case. Let's use this as an example, I want to say. And we're talking about what did the Word of God say that we should have known, that we should not have lied and kept this secret. No, let me not add pad on, you know, pad this. That you should not have kept a secret and gone, you know, to Mexico to get the cheap deal, to get the cosmetic surgery, liposuction and a tummy tuck. And had you been reading your word and the word of the Lord and the Spirit of the Lord was directing you, how would that have brought, you know, you to a better place? Pastor Charlene, let's talk about what does the Word of God say? Because the Holy Spirit brings us back, brings, you know, back the spirit, the word of God to our remembrance. So, what are we saying, Pastor Charlotte? What verses are we using?
Okay, first of all, we're talking about the tummy tuck lady, right? As you said, tummy
right.
tuck lady. Okay.
Yes.
So, first of all, you are beautiful. You wouldn't need for you to be able. You are beautiful, and you wouldn't have to mess with the temple that I've given you. Because you know, I hear a lot of echo. You hear it? Is that my side?
No,
okay.
I got it.
Okay. Thank you. So the Lord would have shared that with that you are beautiful, you know, and where that you wouldn't have to have this surgery because I made you. I designed you the way that I want you to be. So that would have been first in my head of that, of that the Lord would have spoke to me that, you know, you don't have to do this to for you to be able to be any other kind of way, you know, because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. So therefore, in that, you know, loving you, I love you just the way that you are. Nobody is more important to you than I am. See, that's how God would have spoken to me in my head, because I remember when I was having issues with my body, you know, and so with that, I wouldn't have been able to go into of trying to get to that place, because now something is lacking within your mind, you know. But if we lay all our burdens down to him, we would not have to be able to feel that kind of way. You know,
okay,
so that's
okay.
What it is in my mind. Uh-huh.
Okay, thank you. So you are fearfully and wonderfully made, says the word of God. And what was the second one you said?
I don't remember.
Second verse?
You
got to
touch me when I say.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay. All right. It'll come back to me because it's right on the tip of my tongue as well. Okay. So let's see which ones Minister AJ, which verses Minister AJ is going to use that's going to keep us from going to Mexico to get that tummy tuck.
Luke 8:17, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Basically, your sin will find you out. And I will also use Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. So I'm going with those two on today. And a lot of times, too, when we know something is wrong, we will keep it a secret. We don't speak boldly if we're shaky about something. So that's why I use Romans 6:23. When you know something is concrete and God has given it to you and it's the Holy Spirit, you don't have a problem speaking it. But when you are shaky about it, that's when you want to keep things a secret.
Okay. Yeah, so we talked about that. We talked about, you know, you keep it a secret because you don't want nobody else to say nothing to you because you already know something ain't right about this. So, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So you used that the wages of sin is death. Wow, you went hard there. And what was the first one you used? Don't give us a secret. Just give
Luke,
it to us because this is supposed to be coming to your memory anyway. Forget about that Luke whatever. Say, what is it?
It's basically your sin will find you out. Nothing that
okay.
is done in darkness
okay.
will remain in darkness.
Okay, that's what I want to hear. That's what I want to hear. Because, see, we don't always know where the scripture is taken from, you know, but that word of God, that verse, the wording will come back to us, or even the abridged version. Like you said, you know, the word of God will find you out or whatever, however it said. You know, those are the type of things that that the Spirit does. The Spirit brings back the word of God to our remembrance. We could have been sitting up in a sermon just on, you know, this past week, and now all of a sudden everything starts smacking you in the face. Dang, I just heard that. Dang, I just heard that. Dang, I just heard that. All right. So thank you. So, the Spirit of the Lord, how is it dealing with us? How does it, you know, move in us during times when we're trying to make decisions, such as if we're going over to Mexico and we're going to get this liposuction and this tummy tuck, you know, and we didn't do the research and we're holding a secret from our people. So we're talking about the leading of the Lord. How does the Lord lead you at a time like this, Pastor Charlene?
Well, he showed them. He showed them that the people, which they wasn't paying attention, where the people was getting sick, where the people was in there, they didn't have anything. He was letting them see different things within the place. You know, because the person that went in before you, you wasn't the only person, because if he's making it where that, it was an open door, it's showing how the people was coming out. So he was showing them, but they did not see what he was showing them.
Okay.
He was showing.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Oh, he was showing them that, you know, as the people was leaving of in pain, but, you know, we would not look at because we always think that it's not going to be me. So the Spirit is showing you I'm sure somewhere along the line, maybe we should get up out of here. Somebody thought of that. It might have been said, you know, but no, we here now, you know. So he does that. He'll make you feel so uncomfortable of where you're sitting at. He puts stuff in front of us that we just close our eyes and act like we don't see it. So I'm going to use in the place right there.
Good one. What you got, what's a leading of the Spirit of the Lord in this particular instance, the entire instance? Give me one, Minister AJ.
The fact that they kept it a secret, and I believe sometimes God will weigh on your spirit. And, you know, once he makes your spirit heavy, a lot of times you don't want to share that with everybody because you want to just go ahead and push the fast forward button and push past and say, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. And, you know, I'm pretty sure the Spirit helps with our infirmities. Even when we are sick, you know, the Spirit will help our infirmities. Even when we're getting ready to make decisions that could cost our lives. If you've got the Spirit of the Lord and it's tugging on you and you press fast forward, you put yourself in danger. And the fact that they didn't even mention it to nobody, I'm pretty sure, you know, God was dealing with their spirit. You had a nurse who's in the field, health field, and, you know, another person, and you mean, no, what they want to do was show off. You know, they wanted to come back with that banging body, and essentially it cost somebody their life.
All right, good one. You stepped into my other area, but I'll let you go. Come on, Pastor Charlene. At what other point could the Lord lead them, could have been leading them if they were in tune, you know, to the Spirit of the Lord, from the beginning to the end of this story?
Okay. Well, from the beginning, like you stated, it's the secret part. From then, now we're getting from, okay, we didn't tell anybody, so now we're packing, you know, to go, and now we're on the plane. So instead of us, I'm sure that there was something that when they got off the airport, you know, out of the airport of going, you know, maybe there was a problem of a luggage or something. You know, here they see different little things, but we outdo that. So now we're going to the place, you know, and now we're sitting inside. Now we got to put it in
the front. Pastor Charlene, wait, hold on. Right. No, I didn't want you to give me the journey. I want you to give me one thing, because I don't need you to eat up everything, and now Minister AJ got to be working on some stuff. No, give me one thing.
Okay.
What I'm saying is from the beginning to the end, what's one other thing, in addition to the two things you two have already named, that could have a lot?
Okay.
And you were doing well. Let's stay right there. Let's stay with the fact that other little things could have crept in that was saying no. So let's stick there. I like that one.
Okay. So I'm sure that there was a time in that all the way through it that, like I said, somebody who wasn't thinking of that this was the Lord speaking to them. you know, of things that was coming upon them, where that they were saying, somebody would say, no, that we should not, and this is, we should not do this. Maybe we're doing this too fast. You mean in that part right there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So maybe we're doing this too fast, you know, because I'm sure that there was conversation between the three of them in the mix of this, especially the one that's not getting anything. So, you know, but we here now. You know what I mean? Because a lot of times we'll just do what we hear now, and we will overlook what the Lord is trying to show us, because it was too visual of what was going on. It was too visual, things that's missing, things that, you know, that should have been here as if it was a legit place.
Okay,
you know, so,
okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Minister AJ, you know, we're talking about the leading of the Lord. You know, what, from the beginning of the story to the end of the story that we heard, what could have been, so what happens to us during the decision-making moments? And we've made the decision already to go forward, but something along the way, the Lord, you know, the Spirit of the Lord leads us into a certain area that makes things questionable, possibly. How else could the Lord have led them in this particular journey?
Could have led them?
The leading of the Lord. You feel the leading of the Lord.
Okay. For me, I got to go back to the very beginning. And I think a lot of times we don't seek God in our decisions. Jesus is the lamp unto our path. And if Jesus is leading you, it's hard to go wrong. We go back to those resources, the research, going to the right places. You mean to tell me none of that? And I feel like a lot of times we press the ignore button to feed our ego. And it does not, the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you and also guide you into all truth. You know what I'm saying? If it ain't the right place, the Holy Spirit is going to lead you and guide you. But I think here, you know, the Holy Spirit would have really led them had they leaned on the Holy Spirit. Had they consulted the Holy Spirit or even consulted Jesus, you know, which way should we go? What should we do? And a lot of times we don't ask questions. We just make decisions and we just go. And unfortunately, you know, sin, that the sacrifice that we thought we was making, let's take the word sin, that sacrifice is negative because we didn't consult the Savior.
Wow.
So here it is. You thought of,
I like
the
that.
Sacrifice for a couple of, and sacrifices for a couple of dollars, and it could be sin. You didn't even tell nobody. You didn't consult them. And here it is. You alternate in your temple, and the Bible says when sin is finished, it brings forth what? Death. And let's take the, I hate to do it to you, but take the word death. Doing everything as they have. Sometimes just not relying on God, but following what everybody else has done. There's a whole bunch of people in here sick. We're going to sit right here, and they're coming out of here sick by the numbers. So let's go in there and get our sickness. No.
Wow. All right. You two are bringing up some good stuff here. So we asked, you know, I asked, okay, you know, go ahead, send me some stuff that has happened where you knew the Lord was leading you to go in another direction, but you decided to go in your own direction, and it backfired. So I'm going to ask for Pastor Charlene to give us an example of when that happened to you.
Well, what happened to me before I became a preacher, I was running. A lot of people was saying that about me, and I didn't want to hear it. And then one day, I had an accident on the job, and I was down for a year and a half. And I remember being on my back and not able to do, when I say nothing for myself, pretty much the whole year, the first year, it was a year and a half, but the first year, I was on so much drugs that I didn't know when I was awake, when I wasn't awake. It was just that bad. And I remember starting to read the Word of God, and Lord kept telling me that you keep running, but now I have you. When I was laid on my back, all I could do was continue to look up. And then I started to read the Word even more, and that's when I learned that I needed to surrender to the Lord. because the longer that I did not surrender to him and say yes, that I will become that preacher, he kept me on my back. Soon as I said, yes, Lord, I'm not going to run no more. I give it all to you. I'm going to preach your word just like you have been telling me and you have been sending people. And as soon as I said that is when my healing came in my body. And then I was able to get up. I was able to walk. I was able, because when I say everything, I was messed up. My whole left side, every brace I was in, leg, arm, back, neck, all of that. And once I said yes is when the Lord healed my body. And from that day forward, and I told him and I made a promise to him, once you, Lord, you show me that you are real, and I will preach your word. I walked into the church finally. When I got it together, I walked into a church, gave my life back over to the Lord again, and I've been going in that direction ever since. And that's how I knew that it was the Lord, because he will put you in a place the way that you can hear him. Huh. You will hear his voice, and he will show you how powerful and mighty that he is. He is, and that's where I got my first breakthrough of knowing that the Lord will stop you in your tracks when you think that you want to do something else, and you will not.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. I'm sure there's a whole lot of people who can attest to that particular type story. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Minister AJ, what you got? You know, what happened with the leading of the Lord and you decided you was going to go the opposite way and the Lord said,
Not me. I am perfect. I don't do that when the Lord's no. All jokes aside, but for me it was, you know, the years of 2009, 2011. I can't pinpoint the exact point. But sometimes what we don't fail to realize is sometimes God will come through heavy through his messenger. So while we're looking at a person and what the person is saying, it's the Holy Spirit speaking through them. But we're looking at the person. And for me, it was Pastor Stephanie, who gave me a word. And it's somewhere around there, 2009, 2010, says, pack up your family. You need to be at this church. And if you don't go, things will get crazy. Me and my little Jonah experience, said, I'm going to go over here and just chill, you know, and not realizing what God had for me. And believe me, when things got crazy, I done lost two cars and this went down and that went down, the kids, this one, that one. Man, and the crazy thing is I had to come back to the same messenger and call, and nobody, and the crazy thing was nobody else at that point could speak into my life. But I had to come back to the original messenger and say, you know what? Listen, I need to pack up. I need to go. And the crazy thing was God had ministry there for me. It wasn't just for me to receive. It was something that he needed to push, you know, in me and out of me and drive some other things out. So I praise God for that experience. So now, you know, I try to listen as much as I can, you know, so we don't, you know, be in the mouth. You know, in the belly of the fish, you know. In Jesus' name, amen. So that's my spirit. That's my experience. Amen.
Well, amen. I didn't think you were going to bring that up. It was 2009, actually, to be exact. It was 2009. And I thank you for being candid as well as Pastor Charlene. And I'm praying that, you know, people will use this as a launching pad to pay attention to, you know, when we need to make decisions. You know, if you don't connect with God, you may not get that leading of the Lord. But for those of us who claim Jesus and God as the head of our life, you know, we need to definitely pay attention to that Holy Spirit, because trust me when I tell you, that Spirit is always on point and always doing his job, never sleeps or slumbers. Thank you so much, Minister AJ and Pastor Charlene, for definitely helping to direct God's people. into, you know, listening to the Spirit of the Lord. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day.
Amen.
You
have a blessed day.
Thank you.
I'm Minister AJ.
All right.
You do the same.
And Minister AJ, you still have a spot on his due time, even if you did not bring up, you know, that particular, testimony, an instance. You know, you didn't have to tell that in order to stay on. I was going to keep you on anyway. Thank you so much.
Man.
Have a blessed one.
So then can I share the one I was going to originally? No, I'm joking.
Oh, goodness. Enjoy your day. Thank you so much.
All right. You do the same.
Thank you. All righty. I hope you people were listening. A whole lot said in today's conversation. A whole lot said in today's conversation. And we have reached the moment where we hold hands and we hold hearts and we go before the Lord. Gracious, most eternal Heavenly Father, we give you thanks, oh God. You've done it one more time. You've awakened us to a level of truth, to a level of growth, to experiences that we did not personally have to go through, but you use your people as an example so we could learn from just the testimony. We thank you, oh God, for just keeping us safely through the night. No hurt, harm, or danger has come across our doorstep or the people who we love. We thank you so much, God, because, you know, you're reaching places that we can't even reach. No matter how much we're concerned about someone in our life, we can't protect them, but we can definitely ask you to, keep them. And we thank you for just always being on the job and answering prayer. Lord, we're talking about families, children today who no longer have mothers because of the careless thinking of others. And Lord, we're just asking you to be with the orphans today. You know, your word says that that should be one of our chief concerns, to take care of the orphans. We don't know if fathers were a part of these children's lives, but we know that there are four children who no longer have mothers. And Lord, we are just asking you to cover their lives. You knew that at this point in their life that they would not have a mom. And we trust you, God, for your decisions that are made. We're asking you, God, to just be with them. Cover the people who they're left in the care of, that they would take care of them as though they were their own, God. Lord, we're just asking you to help us make better decisions, that the stories that were used would help us in the first story not to be impulsive, that we don't think things through, that the decisions we make may not even reach the target because we have not thought it through. But you are the strategic person and being in our life, dear Heavenly Father. We need to pattern ourselves after you, even if we look at the creation process, how strategic you were in speaking these things into existence, that we could plan even a medical procedure just watching what you do. Who do we choose to do the procedure? Where do we go? How much do we talk about? What do we keep secret? What do we hold on to? What money are we willing to spend? Are we being good stewards over your money? Are we being good stewards over your children? Are we being good stewards over the fact that you have given us free mind to make the decisions for ourselves? That's stewardship right there. So we thank you, God, because you've trusted us. But, Lord, we pray that we just learn to move differently, to decide differently, that the Spirit of the Lord would dictate what we do and our spirit would take second seat to that. Let this be a new day for us, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, this news, it just doesn't come from nowhere. It just doesn't hit our plate. It's not spread across the table for us to just talk about it today and walk off. But you have something in it for us to learn from. And we've spoken about it here today. So, Lord, we lift everybody who will hear this message, whether it's today, to next week, 2 months from now, whenever, that there would be the message individually given for that particular listen. Even if two people are sitting in the same room right now, that what reaches one may not be what needs to reach the other, but whatever that other one needs, that they would walk away from it, that our decision-making would only be led by your Spirit. Such a gift that you've given to us. How can we just take advantage of it or take it for granted or ignore it? But we would receive it and make sure we utilize it the way you have designed for it to be used. We ask you to bless every listener, every minister, and we lift your name on high, God. We lift up Pastor Ed, who's caring for his child. And Lord, we're just grateful that you have brought him through, and we pray for the family, God. We're keeping in prayer Dwayne, dear Heavenly Father, and we're praying that there is peace and rest that's given, trust, hope that's given, and we're asking you to just be with every single one of us. And that we will continue to wake up with our marching orders from you in the forefront of our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I have so often had the opportunity to reach out to and use the highlights of the news. You know, the things that, you know, is going on and everybody's talking about. But I'm always led, watch the choosing of my words, I'm always led to go with the ones that God chooses. And I want to say it like that. I want to say that, you know, I look and I see, you know, there's in front of me for the past few days, the 16-year-old who was killed by police, and not that it doesn't mean anything, but God has something else for me to talk about, because he wants to bring something else out of the conversation. And, you know, today we're talking about the war on children. It's still a war on the children. Still a war on the children. No matter how we slice this pie, the biggest losers here are the children who have to continue to go on without moms. And the enemy will do it any way he can. Any way he can, he will continue to just destroy families. And, you know, we have to make better decisions, and this is what today's conversation is about. We have to make better decisions. And because decision-making can be so difficult at times, how do we know? Because, you know, we know that you ain't got no business, you know, underneath no liposuction and tummy tucks, you know, for the sake of cosmetic purposes. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And guess what? Most of these weight issues, we have control over. We're not out of control. We have control. We don't like the way we look, fix it. Stop eating. Stop eating the wrong things. You know, we've covered what do you call it? We've covered those, you know, those are all different kinds of health, healthy foods and things like that. Yet you can do it. You have the ability to do it yourself. You know, so, you know, the decision-making process is hard when you try to take the easy way out, opposed to, you know, yeah, losing weight is going to take some work. It's going to take some work. And that sacrifice in not eating a certain way or putting down them cookies or whatever it is that you really like, you know, it's a hard decision to make for some people, you know. For most people, it's hard, you know, to really get yourself together and not eat the way you would really like to eat. You know, the quicker way is to save up your couple of dollars and throw it across the table for someone else to take care of it, and you go the shortcut way. And the shortcut way, as we all can attest to, I don't care what your shortcut way was, how old you were, shortcuts very, very rarely work. Very rarely work. And God, in his infinite wisdom, will always lead us in one way or another. That's the one thing we never have to worry about. Is God on the job? Well, the answer is absolutely. We know God is always doing his job, but are we doing our job? Because is the bigger witness, I went to get cosmetic surgery, and that's why I have this banging body, as Minister AJ said, or is the bigger witness, hey, you know what? I worked my butt off to look like this girl. That's the bigger witness that says, yes, I can. Yep, I can. I just got to make sure I focus. That sends a bigger witness to God's people that you now can help somebody else go through that. And maybe, just maybe, that might be a call on your life. Ah, how do we get to some of the careers we get to? Well, because we've had a personal experience, and now there's the passion. So God's work is always going on. So now that you've, you know, done whatever you've had to do, and you were, you know, this amount of pounds, and this was hanging off, and this was shaking, and now you have learned how to discipline yourself, now you may be able to use this as a career. Your call from God to help people. You may have that knack for helping people to stay motivated, to get motivated, to eat differently. So, you know, that's the bigger witness. The bigger witness is not going and laying on a table and letting somebody else do this to you. Everybody may not have that $6,700. Now what you going to do? So what do they, stay fat? Stay out of shape? Stay unhealthy? No. So think about how God could possibly be using you. Do we think like this? Do we think that far? Do we stay prayerful enough? Because I got to tell you, that there could be given to you and delivered in prayer. That could be delivered through the leading of the Lord. But we got to stay in God's word. We've got to stay with God being the center of our life. We can't just handle life any old kind of way and let and expect God to be able to use us. We've got to go with the leading of the Lord. You know, there's a whole lot of us who can give that belly, you know, belly of the fish, sit down. You know, Pastor Charlene talked about on her back. Minister AJ talked about everything was chaos and confusion. Things just weren't going right. And that was it. Everybody can give your belly. I'm going to be honest with you. I have not spoken to one minister, one evangelist, one preacher, one pastor who does not have a belly in the fish story. Because most times when God calls us, we're always in the opposite direction. Nope, I don't want to do that. No, that's all right. I've said it myself. And I had my belly of the fish, and I said, just like Pastor Charlene said, I said, God, if you give me, well, thank you, because it could have been worse. But I'm going to make sure that any time you tell me to do something, I'm on point. So I listen to the leading of the Lord. I follow the leading of the Lord every opportunity I can. I do not play with that. Not at all. Because I realize what happened when I decided to go my own way before. It don't work. And you ain't going to be happy. Let me tell you something. You ain't going to, you, yes, I'm saying ain't. Yes, you ain't going to be happy. Anytime we do not follow the leading of the Lord, we are in trouble. I promise you that. God has not given us the gift of the Holy Spirit for us to trifle with, for us to use at our, you know, leisure, for us to ignore, you know, when we want to. Oh, I want to do it this way. Oh, this way doesn't feel comfortable. But nah, it don't work like that. It does not work like that. So trust me when I tell you, you want to follow the leading of the Lord, and you will not end up with results like we spoke about this morning. You may not be trying to get up on a table for liposuction. You might be trying to do something else. But what's wrong is what's wrong. So it may not be that. So take your mind off of that particular story and just use that and fill in the blank with your own story. And make sure you follow the leading of the Lord at all times. You won't go wrong. Please like us on Facebook. A Closer Walk Media Network is how we are found. Follow us on Blog Talk Radio. Make sure when you open up that link, you press that pink follow button, and you will be notified each and every time we upload a new episode. Follow us on Instagram at ACW_media_network to stay updated with our tips, topics, and our guests. Knock on our door, Coach for Christian Life, or a Coastal Walk Media Network's post. And let everybody know how you enjoyed today's episode. Go back and listen to past episodes. Man, oh man, oh man. These episodes are loaded. So if, you know, you're not doing anything, or you're just taking a bath, or you're just cleaning the house, or you're just cooking, or whatever you might be doing, take the time to pull up a past episode. We go all the way back to 2016. Trust me when I tell you, something has been covered in your world, okay? Please go to iTunes and Apple Podcasts to rate and review the show. Let the world know why you tune into It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Tune in tomorrow, God spares, for Wow Wednesday. We don't know what Vivian is going to be talking about tomorrow and what her news is going to be like. So you want to make sure God spares your life that you catch tomorrow's episode. It's always a Wow Wednesday over here on It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Okay? So let's make sure we get up, say our prayers, brush our teeth, wash our face, and jump on. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Think about today's stories. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off. I'd like to thank my Pastor Charlene Beard and my Minister AJ for helping me hold it down today in our church folk, and let's talk about it Tuesday. And I'd like to thank you for hanging out with me. Think about it, and make that decision. Choose Jesus as your personal Savior today, later, tomorrow. It's not promised to us. So make that decision right now. until tomorrow God spares life, I love you.